Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Macaulay Culkin, back when he was still doing meth, and Jeff Foxworthy, and Outrage Over a Beer Can. If you guessed Kid Rock, you're correct. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160.
I think Macaulay Culkin is more handsome than him.
Macaulay Culkin is awesome because Macaulay has battled hardcore drug addictions. And he's overcome them.
And he's married to Brenda Song.
I don't know who that is.
She's from The Secret Life of Zack and Cody. She was a Disney star.
I can only imagine how screwed up this kid was, though, as a result of being Macaulay Culkin from the Home Alone series, right? Obviously, he was going to become famous and he was going to get into drugs, right? Like, that was basically written in the stars for his future. And he did exactly that. And he seems to have done a lot of drugs, but he turned his life around, and now he's walking runways and modeling shows and stuff, and he's doing fantastic again, and that is inspirational, right? That someone can sink so low and then rise back up to the top. Like, that I have nothing but respect for. So when I make this joke about Jeff Foxworthy and Macaulay Culkin, I want to specify that I'm talking about on drugs Macaulay Culkin, right? Like, the one who was, you know, robbing people in the streets of San Francisco to pay for meth. I don't think he ever actually robbed anyone. I don't know. I'm just saying that's what meth heads do, right?
Yeah.
And he was pretty much on meth. I think it was meth.
Like it.
Yeah, it looked like it was probably meth, but I don't know, and I don't know the guy, and I haven't read his Wikipedia, so who knows? Anyway, Kid Rock has lost his mind, and I generally hate talking about trans stuff in general, so I'm going to avoid that topic entirely, except to point out that there's Dylan Mulvaney is some trans person who got internet famous because they made a video series, I think on TikTok, effectively documenting their transition, where they did like a brief video every day for 100 days or whatever.
Okay.
And in that way, they sort of chronicled their transition. And I did something similar, except it wasn't public, right? I took pictures regularly, and I have them organized on my computer by month and year. And I can look back and go, wow, like, if you put these pictures beside one another, it's very clear how my body and my face and everything about me changed over the period. But I didn't put it on TikTok. And Dylan Mulvaney did. And, you know, kudos for him for that. Her, I don't know if Dylan is...
Is she?
Trans woman.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't get why I keep the name Dylan. That's so masculine to me.
That is masculine.
It's an androgynous name.
I assume really? That Dylan was female to male as a result of the name Dylan.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
well, it would be like me naming myself... I can't think of a androgynous
Well, they're like
name.
Jordan.
But you don't expect trans people to do that, right? I picked the name Aria because it's distinctly feminine. You're not going to mistake someone named Aria as being a male if you just see the name, right? You know that that's a chick.
I personally have never liked boy names for girls.
Yeah,
I just really
don't Bobby.
Like my little brother told me that there's a girl at his school in Alabama named Harrison. He told me, Harrison's a girl name in Alabama. I was like, no, it's not. Nothing that ends with
no,
son.
No, it's not.
Like, Jackson, that should not be a girl's name.
No, because it's got the word son literally in it,
yeah,
and that's
literally like
that. Why the word son is in there.
Right, the son of.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what Dylan Mulvaney did, and, you know, kudos to her for that. Hearing the name Dylan, I don't want to put female pronouns with it, because it's just such a masculine name. I've never met a female Dylan.
Neither.
Now you have.
I had a boyfriend named Dylan.
I've never met this person.
All right.
But anyway, so she did the thing with Bud Light. I don't know why she chose such a terrible beer to do a thing with, or they chose her. I don't know, and I don't care.
Most money.
Probably. But they made a beer can of something, and it had pronouns on it, and it was like together or whatever. I don't know. It was some some hippie crap, right?
Some dumb corporate,
suck up.
Peace. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Bud Light doesn't give a damn about trans people, but...
They also do the rainbow Bud Light cans during Pride. That's the only time I ever have drank Bud Light.
Yep.
Because I want one of those cans. But oh, my God, I almost said one of them cans.
They do care about... That's such a Southern thing, too. I wouldn't have even noticed, I don't think, if you had said it.
I think it's appropriate.
Fair enough. I don't think any of these companies actually care about trans stuff, but whatever. Anyway, they did this thing, and Kid Rock evidently drinks Bud Light. And this made him very upset. So, obviously, they did what any rational, sane, well-adjusted adult would do, and they took a semi-automatic weapon and a bunch of cases of beer, and they shot them, while someone off to the camera used a shotgun using ammunition, I think it's called Dragon's Breath, to actually hit the cans. You can't tell... who actually hit the cans, but I'm assuming they had the person there with the shotgun off camera, presumably just to make sure that the cans actually got hit, because it would have been a really terrible video.
He's like, yeah, I don't know, like 20 feet away.
But there's, not that far, yeah.
But there's absolutely, you can clearly see the ammunition, the bullets firing from a different position than he's at. And I don't know
I didn't notice that part. I've only seen the video once, and it was brief.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet, a reply on the tweet, and then I went back and looked, and I was like, wow, it's really clear and obvious once you know what to look for.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. I don't care why he did that. I don't know why he did any of it. It's all completely crazy, right? Because that is such an overblown, insane, psychotic, unhinged reaction to a beer can. That I don't even know how to begin addressing it.
Well, I'd say that people, beer companies, work very hard in order to market to a particular demographic.
But it's Bud Light.
Bud Light works very hard to market, has worked very hard to market to a particular demographic. And if they then...
But that demographic isn't redneck hillbillies.
I'll tell you what. I've met a lot of redneck hillbillies that drink Bud Light.
Maybe Budweiser?
Bud Light.
The only experience I have with Bud Light was from back in Mississippi when my rock band, that was what we drank. We would get a 24-pack of Bud Light and we would hang out on Saturday afternoons drinking alcohol.
Yeah, my Hispanic friend in Utah would always drink Platinums. Isn't that a Bud Light thing?
I think so. And we chose Bud Light because you couldn't drink enough of it to get drunk, right? Have four beers over the course of a three-hour jam session, I'm totally fine to drive because it's so weak and insignificant, right? That's what Bud Light was always, the point of it always was to me. That was what I thought it marketed itself as, was a beer for you to drink when you don't want to get drunk, when you just want to chill and hang out with friends and you want that social lubricant that alcohol is. Is that a calorie thing?
Zero alcohol.
There's also breakfast beers, and when I drink, I did like to drink German breakfast beers sometimes. They just are so great.
What really surprised me was the prevalence of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, PBR has made a comeback in the last couple of decades. Yeah,
see, that, to me, that was the redneck beer of choice.
Yeah.
You didn't see any self-respecting person drinking PBR.
Also Lone Star in Texas.
But here in New Hampshire, that's what all... It's either Twisted Teas or Pabst Blue Ribbons. It's what all of the college-age kids are drinking.
Natty Light. There's like a
the alcoholics
that
drink that, yeah.
Natty Light has always been the choice of young people who just can't, they want to get as much alcohol as they can get.
And they're the cheapest one at the Moose Mart, and they're...
I thought that's what Steel 211 Reserves was for. Steel Reserves 211, whatever they're called.
Regardless.
Because they're like 6.5% alcohol.
Ask themselves, who drinks our beer?
Right.
And at least some of the people that drink Bud Light, whether that's your experience or my experience or whoever's experience, is, the Kid Rock types, as opposed to the, would you say Mulvaney?
Yep.
Dylan Mulvaney types. And I think that it is it seems like a ham-fisted choice to attempt to cross-promote to these two groups.
Except that it's worked every single year that they've done the Pride cans.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. I didn't know anything about the Pride cans, and I think that that's probably where the misstep occurred.
Pride Month, I expect that sort of thing from corporations, right? I know that every June, these companies are going to put a rainbow in their stupid logo.
Yep.
And it's not because they care about trans people or gay rights or anything. It's because they want to make money.
Sure.
And that's how they don't, because you can look at these places like Bethesda is the prime example. every June, they change their logo to the same. Bethesda is a video game company. They change their logo to the same thing, but it's rainbows now. Except Bethesda Middle East, because they have different subsidiaries
for
companies. And they never changed theirs in the Middle East. Now, if you actually cared about gay rights and trans rights and gay pride and all this other crap, that would be the one flag.
You'd go right to Riyadh, and you'd fly your gay flag and tell them all to suck it.
Exactly. But they noticeably don't do that. And it's because
that would be a terrible idea.
I'm pretty sure you'd get arrested. You'll get arrested for, like, filming in public in Riyadh.
But they wouldn't get arrested for changing their Bethesda Middle East's Twitter profile pic into being a rainbow flag.
We can say that would be a marketing misstep, right, to go to the Middle East.
I don't think it would be. I mean, I can't imagine there are too many people in the
Middle
East.
Would you buy another Bethesda video game?
Wait, you can't.
Because they went to Riyadh with a gay flag?
Yeah, I think I probably would. That's pretty courageous.
I'd say it's courageous, but I mean, they either produce a good video game or they don't. And I'm not going to choose a video game based on what the manufacturing company decided to do as...
Well, there's more than one company that I've seen get called out for not changing their logo in the Middle East.
Oh, I see it all the time. Yeah. Absolutely. So, they make it very clear that they're just in it for the marketing.
But the first company that does it and makes, you know, sells the story, like immediately tells somebody to go write a story about it and gets called courageous for doing it, might make a whole bunch of money.
If it's the right company doing the right thing, I tend to think a video game company isn't the right one. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I don't disagree with your statement. However, trying to cross-market to trans people and... rednecks seems like a marketing faux pas to me.
It does, to an extent.
I would say that the trans people are not going to long-term adopt. So for every, you know, 10 cans of, for a case of Bud Light that you sell in the next month, you've lost a long-term customer. That is a poor trade.
Probably. But that's because trans women... tend to almost be caricatures of women.
Sure, so they're going to drink Cosmos.
Yeah, they're never going to drink a Bud Light in any normal context. You may get your trans men to drink Bud Light, but not your trans
women. But there's fewer of them, too, right?
But there's also a thing called people that, you know, call themselves, like, allies, and they're like, I want to support it because I support the trans people.
That's true.
I employ a trans person and, or at least, you know, some version of this. Allow a trans person on the show, beg a trans person to come on and cover for me. I'm not sure which one it is. I'm not going to drink a Bud Light in any of these circumstances.
No, if you want to show
yourself. But the type of person I'm talking about is a specific type of person is kind of a cringe thing that puts their personality into, like,
but
being a white knight
switch?
For trans people.
It's like those people who ran around with safety pins on their lapels after the 2016 election. Because people actually did this.
What was that for?
Allies did this because they wanted to signal to people that they were safe.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
You could talk to them. They were a safe space in a dangerous world. So they wore safety pins on their lapels, and it did absolutely nothing to help anyone do anything. That's why if you supported trans people, you wouldn't buy a Bud Light. You would have a trans person on your show. You know?
I think this is a misstep, is all I'm saying. I don't, not for, no for no, I think it's a marketing misstep. As a guy who spent my career in marketing, it looks to me like Bud Light got the worst, they got the crappy end of this particular stick, because there's some very angry, for whatever reason, Republican voters out there, and the people for whom they have traded those customers are not going to be loyal to them. And if it's about, at the end of the day, how much watered-down beer you sell, then... I think that this is a bad trade just on the surface. I haven't looked at it, and I'm sure that somebody was going to re-spin it and say, oh, see, Mark, you're wrong.
But I don't think it was on the surface. I think the thing that made it a bad trade-off was Kid Rock getting involved. I think otherwise I would have never heard about this. We wouldn't be talking about this.
Well, I'd heard about the Dylan Mulvaney part first.
Really?
And then Kid Rock came out the next day.
I did hear about the Dylan Mulvaney thing first, but it's because Dylan Mulvaney is like the third subject on one out of every three subjects on my Twitter feed.
Oh, my goodness.
Not literally, but, like, almost.
Well, let's go to the phones, however, because we are a call-in show, and you can join us 603-283-6160. Again, that's 603-283-6160. We have Tim on the line from Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to preface this with I don't have a horse in this race at all. What I can tell you, though, is that I work at 7-Eleven on the weekends, and I deliver for Instacart during the week. And,
thank you for your service.
You're welcome. And Easter, I worked Easter Day, and the local grocery store was closed, and it was in a somewhat remote area that I was working at the 7-Eleven. So as you can imagine, well, we sold a lot of beer.
Because that's what Jesus would want.
Yes.
I mean, it kind of is. Well, Jesus liked alcohol enough to turn water into it, so... That's basically what Bud Light is.
But I did notice that the Bud Light sales were very, very low. As far as Bud Light versus Budweiser, generally Bud Light does sell much, much, much better than Budweiser. In Southwest Florida, we sell a lot of Corona, a lot of Modelo, a lot of Bud Light, a lot of Michelob, Ultra Light. But the thing about Bud Light is it's Anheuser-Busch. So,
right.
You know, I'm drinking Busch beer right now. I like PBR. The original PBR, they changed the recipe. I guess they got bought out or something. They changed the recipe, and then a Japanese company came and bought them back and changed it back to the original recipe.
Wow.
And now it's actually really good beer as far as a budget beer.
It didn't win blue ribbons for nothing. These were good beers.
I've never had one.
I've definitely had many.
Whenever I drank, I was mostly drinking like Mexican beers, like Dos Equis, Pacifico, with a lime.
I hated beers. Oh. Even when I played in the Rock Band where we were drinking Bud Light every week, it was just a thing to do.
I hate Bud Light, like the Platinums I was talking about earlier. I think that's what they're called.
I don't think they're there
those
to
are really
be good.
Strong. Those, but I'm those not are 6% plus.
I'm not at all surprised to hear that Budweiser doesn't generally sell very well. It's like the Marlboro Red of beers, right? It's like only the hardcore country person is smoking Marlboro Reds and drinking Budweiser.
Well, this was Bud Light specifically.
Right. But Budweiser.
If you're going to boycott a company, boycott the company.
Yeah,
You should or shouldn't.
Right.
But it's Anheuser-Busch. That would include Busch Light, all Natty Ice, Natty Light. All that stuff is owned by Anheuser-Busch.
That is why I said the brand as opposed to the manufacturer. Because I think that this was a mistake for the brand, but I don't think it's going to reach the manufacturer.
Well, of course not. Most people have no idea that, you know, Busch and Budweiser and Bud Light.
Budweiser Light is a light version of Budweiser?
Well,
no, I suspect most people don't know that. Have you met people? They're stupid.
The conservatives are saying # go woke, go broke on things all the time that don't go broke.
They are. They're so silly
it's
in
ridiculous.
That regard.
But like, I think they've got this one.
Disney is making more money than ever.
Hmm.
And they're going, go woke, go broke. As far as I can tell, there's not a single example of a company that went broke and then went woke and then went broke. There's plenty that go the opposite direction, like the MyPillow guy, who go anti-woke and then go broke. There's plenty of those. But I can't think of a single company that I've watched go woke and then go broke.
If you can think of one, call in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Before we... I've just got to get it out, okay?
Yeah.
I drink non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, good Lord.
I know.
Of course you do.
of course I do. And for a long time, I drank Budweiser Zero. I recently... This has nothing to do with...
Budweiser
any...
Zero is non-alcoholic.
That's
as well
right.
as no carbs. Or zero calories or whatever it's supposed
it's
to be?
It's zero alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I'm claiming.
Why would you do this to yourself?
I like it.
Why?
I like... Do you like the taste of beer? I like the taste of beer.
Seeing if there's like a alcohol-free Dos Equis, because I probably would enjoy that. I loved having a Dos Equis with lime, just one with dinner sometimes, because...
Right.
Like, especially if you're eating Mexican food, it just goes with it so well.
And I think that's even a perfect example, is that it'll often be pizza. I'll have one. It's, you know, this happens This is the problem with non-alcoholic beer drinkers, is they're of no value. You just put the stuff in the store so that you're just like, hey, look, you know, we service everybody. But they don't drink enough. When I drank beer, I would drink 3 to 6 of them in a night. Now I drink, on a heavy week, 3 non-alcoholic beers in a week just because I like the taste and I want that beer. Okay. But recently I found Coors Edge, which is another zero-alcohol beer. And this one, to my mind, is the best I found of sort of the major manufacturers out there. I'm not an IPA guy. Don't like that hoppy thing going on. And this beer, to me, clean, crisp, tastes wonderful. And I drank more of them than I did of any other of the non-alcoholic beers, which is to say maybe an entire 4 or 5 in a week.
Well, thank you so much for the call tonight, Tim. Let's keep going, though. We have Sarah. Oh, I accidentally hit the wrong button. Well, we had Sarah on the line from New Mexico, and I accidentally...
We didn't do it on purpose, Sarah, but you can't hear us because you don't listen.
Yeah, she doesn't listen. But we do have other callers on the line that I hopefully won't hang up on. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name? Are you with us?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, what's your name?
Oh, this is David in Huntsville, Alabama.
Hey, David, what's on your mind tonight?
Okay, I'm not trying to be an advertising for any, you know, one particular brand, but if people are really into, you know, alcohol per volume, you can't beat Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's?
Yeah, Trader Joe's has a brand of beer that's really great.
Oh, their own brand.
Yeah, what is the percentage on it?
Well, it's higher than the beers you're talking about.
Well, still, I mean, 11.
Beer could go to like 10 and 11.
Yeah, still Reserve 211, well, yeah, I think, has 6.5%.
Yeah, those are cost prohibitive around here. Yeah. I mean, you pay too much for those, for a 6-pack or a 4-pack. But Trader Joe's, for their 6-packs, and it's higher alcohol per volume. And they have a couple of Mexican beers, and then they have a couple of other things.
What's the distinction of a Mexican beer? What makes a beer Mexican?
It was Bruno Mexico.
Just advertising.
I don't think so. There is something different about them. There's a reason I wouldn't put a lime in a Bud Light. You know what I mean?
They sell Bud Light lime.
Really? I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but it's just better.
Yeah.
I understand why someone would go to alcohol content, though. Like, because when I drank wine, I preferred to have the higher alcohol contents, because if I'm going to drink wine with alcohol in it, I might as well, you know, get the most bang for my buck, so to speak, so I'd want the higher alcohol percentages. But I don't... It wasn't.
I never looked at that. It's always been about taste for me.
David, thank you so much for the call tonight. I would certainly agree that it wasn't just about the alcohol volume, right? But that's because there's so many different types of wine. For me, it was about the wine and then the alcohol volume. Like, I wouldn't drink a sangria just because it had a higher alcohol content. 603-283-6160. There is more coming up, including why the FBI thinks you're an extremist. It's Free Talk Live.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden has signed a bill ending the national COVID emergency. The GOP-led resolution was opposed by most Democrats in the House, but the White House has said it would not veto the measure if it made it to Biden's desk. The White House wanted to wind down the national emergency on May 11th. The measure gives states the go-ahead to start winding it down now. An emotional Kentucky governor says he lost one of his closest friends in Monday's bank shooting.
Tommy Elliott helped me build my law career. Helped me become governor. gave me advice on being a good dad.
Andy Beshear asked everyone to send their love to the families affected. In all, 4 people were killed and 9 others wounded in the shooting. Police are confirming the gunman worked at the bank where the shooting happened. Reports indicate the shooter was live streaming his rampage inside that Louisville, Kentucky bank on social media throughout. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us. 603-283-6160 if you would like to. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. Talking about Kid Rock here and marketing missteps for the most part, because I think it was, I got to agree with Mark here, I think it was a misstep for Bud Light to attach themselves to a trans person, because I don't think there's a whole lot of overlap between LGBT people and Bud Light drinkers. Just like I don't think there's a whole lot of overlap between LGBT people and, like, country listeners, right? And I suspect there's a lot more overlap of country listeners and Bud Light drinkers. And Kid Rock, if anything, one of the articles that I read that made me aware of this was it described Kid Rock as a country music star. And I love this because back when I was in junior high or whatever, I listened to Kid Rock. He was popular, right? We all listened to Kid Rock.
I listened to Kid Rock. I had my 76 Eldorado outfitted with the, you know, the speakers. You could hear me coming.
Sure.
And I'd have the ball to bang dig, you know, that one going. Bull God. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember that song that came out when I was in middle school, but I didn't, like, listen to it, quote unquote. That was, like, summertime, something about the summertime.
Oh, God.
On the side of the lake.
The stupid Sweet Home Alabama rip.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, well, see, that was where Kid Rock started to go astray.
Hmm.
And he stopped being a rock musician and started being some sort of weird country rock hybrid thing that isn't good.
Don't they call it Southern rock? I mean, you know, like the sort of rock and roll that appeals to the kind of people that like country music too.
Lots of country stars are from the North. I don't know why. Like, Taylor Swift is from Pennsylvania.
Well, country itself is ubiquitous. I mean, country's been number one in New York City on the radio. The country station has been number one in New York City. It, you know, it changes around. Sometimes it's talk, sometimes it's country.
You can't escape it.
I mean, it's ubiquitous.
I didn't think it would be up here. I had no idea there were rednecks in New Hampshire until I got
here. They're not rednecks.
Yes, they are.
They're hillbillies.
There's rednecks in Utah, too. I didn't know there were rednecks in Utah.
It's country, not southern.
You don't have to be southern to be a redneck, though. Look, there's definitely rednecks in New Hampshire. There are also hillbillies in New Hampshire. But those are different things. There is a lot of overlap between the two. But I would argue that a redneck and a hillbilly, they are different things.
I think of a redneck as a little more urban. Like, you might find them in a Walmart parking lot, you know, doing, like, just sitting there smoking a cigarette or something, more likely than a hillbilly that's probably doing it in their own front yard.
A redneck drives a huge truck that is about 10 to 15 years old. A hillbilly drives a small truck that is about 45 years old. I think that's the redneck wears Wranglers and boots. The hillbilly has a giant beard and a dog that rides in the passenger seat everywhere he goes. And probably
you sound more like a hillbilly than a redneck.
That's what I said.
Well, I'm from the South.
Yeah, like, so am I, Mark.
What they call people from Florida is a cracker.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it doesn't get much more than that.
Yeah, but
so
you're from Sarasota.
One of these things,
and I don't think Florida is really the South.
To be honest,
I don't consider Florida the South very much.
Your husband's from Sarasota.
Yeah, I know.
I'm from Bradenton.
Okay, well,
that sounds even more white.
Ian said that was what did Ian call Bradenton? It was an insult.
Bradentucky.
Bradentucky. Yes. There we go.
Okay. Florida as a whole, I don't consider it the South.
Oh, yeah.
It's its own weird thing.
Ian had never eaten biscuits and gravy until I made it for him.
See, he's not from the South.
He's not from the South.
I would agree with you.
You can't be from the South if you've never had biscuits and gravy, which is terrible, by the way, and I don't know why it's raved about, but, like, you have to.
I love biscuits and gravy, and I make really good
ones.
It's
not bad. I said it's terrible. I didn't mean it's terrible. It's not bad.
You can get terrible biscuits and gravy at lots of restaurants, but I make
it fantastically.
Sweet tea I have no use for.
See, that's because Florida's not the South.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird.
It's just a weird place.
I tried unsweet tea the other day at the restaurant I went to, and it was just, like, so bad. I just added sugar to it.
Yeah, so, and that doesn't really work.
The reason sweet tea was popular where I was from is because the water tasted like sulfur, so you had to do something to make it tolerable.
See, from where I'm from, it's just that's what you drink.
Yeah.
It's sweet tea. It's Kool-Aid when you're a kid, and then around the time you start to hit puberty, it switches to sweet tea, and that's it from then for the rest of your life. Like, I have sweet tea in my house right now here in New Hampshire. The exact brand that I bought on store. Because here, all you can find is Lipton iced tea, and if you're from Mississippi, you don't drink Lipton iced tea because it's trash.
Louisiana?
It's garbage. Yes, Louisiana. But you can't find that here in New Hampshire. So I have to special order it, I do every month.
Well,
I'm from Mississippi, and I've drank tea, sweet tea, my entire life.
So I don't tend to win these who's more southern contests, because my mom was a Yankee. But
you're from Florida, and that's not southern. It's in the South, but it's not southern.
But
it's
if you talk to Ian, I'm from east of the interstate, and that's meaningful from where we are. So Florida is basically Yankee-occupied territory on the coast, where the land tends to be valuable. So 10, 20 miles in from the coast, Yankees everywhere. But once you start getting in, I'm accepting Orlando in this conversation, and I'm also accepting a certain percentage of Gainesville. Even though Gainesville's very country, there's a lot of Yankees teaching school there. So, you know, the rest of the state is very, very country, and in my opinion, very southern.
Well, you're wrong. Let's keep going to the phones, though. We do have Nikki on the line from Georgia. Nikki, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you here to tell us why Mark is wrong about Florida being from the South?
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I have been screaming at my phone for the last 5 minutes. Florida is not South. I wouldn't claim that on my mama's grave. But
are you a Bulldogs fan?
Maybe the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, are you a Bulldogs fan?
I'm a Tennessee Vols fan, baby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, see, that's more southern.
I was taught the only people, being from Florida, I was taught the only people you're really allowed to hate is Bulldogs fans.
Well, she's not a Bulldogs fan.
I went to the University of Florida. I went to the University of Florida, and, you know, what we were taught was the only evil lies in the heart of Georgia.
That ain't even true. I don't know what year you went to college, but Saban is Satan. And if he's not, he's made a pact.
What?
So what's on your mind tonight, Nikki?
Oh, anyway, first of all, you guys have given me so much fodder. Mark, you're not from the South. I love you, but you're not from the South. We don't claim you. Second of all, Aria, I'm pretty sure you can get Milo's sweet tea. As far as sweet tea, that beats everything you can get down here.
What is it called?
Milo's. You can get in, like, a jug.
Yep. Yeah, it's in a jug, baby. It's like $5 a gallon.
You make it in Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
You make it sweet.
Yeah.
As sweet as you want.
Milo's is really sweet. They have it like Church's Chickens and Bush's Chickens.
Okay. I might have to try it.
It's pretty good. Yeah, just check it out, baby.
Okay.
Also, y'all said that none of them woke broke things was real. That started with that Silicon Valley Bank. And they went woke and they went broke. And that's where that all started.
Wait, what? I haven't heard that.
They recently went broke.
Yeah, that's where the woke broke thing started. It's because they got apparently, y'all are basically
no one can
my
argue
news,
that they're broke. That's for sure.
Show.
That's for sure. They can't argue that they're broke.
Yeah, they're definitely broke. And that the reason the Republicans are, that's where all the Republicans started saying that.
That was from the Silicon Valley Bank?
Was it like
yes,
a long time ago, way before they went broke all the way?
Because all I've heard is in relation to Disney movies.
Going downhill like an avalanche. It was about a week before they publicly went broke.
Well, I've heard it said many times regarding Marvel movies.
I tend to think of it in terms of entertainment as well.
Yeah. And Marvel certainly hasn't done very well in its, Phase 4?
Well, it was never going to after Avengers Endgame, and after that, I mean, you got Robert Downey Jr. refusing to come back to reprise his role as Iron Man. Like, what? Their best actor playing the best character isn't coming back. Well, of course,
and
it wasn't
going to
do
well. Their second best actor playing their second best character isn't coming back. And right.
Who was that? Thor?
Wait, isn't he still on cocaine?
Chris Evans. Was he selling cocaine at one point?
Is that still a thing? I mean, is that why he's not coming back?
Chris Evans, that's the guy who played Captain America, right?
Right.
No, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
I don't know these young
guys. No, he's
Iron
Man.
Southern?
Robert Downey Jr. was selling cocaine?
Well, he was on it for a really long time.
Oh, I'm sure he was. You may be mixing him up with Johnny Depp.
Him too. I mean, okay. Johnny Depp is my hero. I wish I could party like that and still be cool.
I mean, they're probably all on cocaine. I can't imagine too many people who are that level of celebrity. Like, look, I'm not a fan of cocaine, but if I had the hundreds of millions of dollars that Robert Downey Jr. had, sure, why not do some coke, right?
If you could stop.
LRN.FM.
Sorry, we had to dump your call there.
Got
Nikki,
a little too comfortable. That's the only time I cussed on the radio was I was just getting too comfortable having like a fine, fun conversation.
That's what I'd expect from somebody from Georgia.
Mark, that's so not fair. She can't respond to you. Thank you so much for the call tonight.
But I am
otherwise,
curious,
Nikki,
what did Silicon Valley do to go woke?
I don't know. She'll have to call and let us know tomorrow.
I don't know that it's... Here's what I would say. I don't know whether it led the way or anything like that she was claiming, but it certainly broke, and it certainly got behind some liberal-type causes. So we asked for examples, and she gave them.
Yeah,
and
certainly.
It
definitely wasn't the first place I ever used that term, though, because the first time I ever heard it was about Disney.
Yeah, the context of my hearing it has always been about some sort of entertainment. And Silicon Valley Bank, they were one of the recent ones that went under, right? That was mostly as a result of them having bad investments in, like, cryptocurrency and stuff, wasn't it?
Silicon Valley? I thought it was the bank bonds.
There were several. And
yes, it was one of those.
Okay.
It was one of those recent ones, yeah, but I thought it was the investment bonds things.
So they may I don't know. They may have gone broke after going woke, but I don't think there's the causation effect that conservatives seem to suggest
it
exists.
It doesn't parallel well with MyPillow.
Right, yeah.
But I think that there's another factor to MyPillow also. So MyPillow is, like, I just slept on a MyPillow last night.
Okay.
And
I wish I'd known that. I won't have that garbage in my house, but go ahead.
It is, it's a product that lasts.
Yeah, but
how many
gonorrhea.
How many pillows in your life are you going to buy? And if you have enough pillows, you're just done buying pillows. And this is, they're now selling slippers and sheets and a whole variety of things in order to grow their market segment. But, you know, they had a really great pillow. In my opinion, the rest of their products aren't that, you know, significantly better than everything else in the market like their pillow was.
I gotta agree that it's such a good pillow that it's worth calling it a good pillow, because it's like, I have a horrible relationship with pillows. They're always too big, too firm, too soft. Like,
this is not a sales pitch, by the way. My Pillow does not sponsor us.
No, I've never had a perfect pillow.
It sounds like you're doing a sales pitch. I've never had a perfect pillow.
The thing about it is, like, it'll turn into, like, a shape of my head hole there, and I'll be like, oh, this sucks. Oh, my God, this pillow's starting to suck. And then I'll sit there and fluff it, and then it's a perfect pillow again for at least, like, a couple more days. And I've never had such a good pillow.
That's my experience, too.
I have a copper-infused pillow that I paid, like, $80 for.
Yeah.
From, like, Walmart.
Is it doing any good?
I got one of those, too.
It's a wonderful pillow.
And I liked it, but after like a year.
It's always cool and refreshing when I lay my head on it. It's fantastic.
Another thing I think my pillow did was raise...
And I'm not supporting any anti-trans people when I sleep on my pillow.
I don't spend much time thinking about that. But what I do think about is how comfortable is my pillow. And I think another thing that my pillow did is they raised the bar for how good pillows need to be. Because I wasn't able to find pillows that were satisfactory to me for a very long time. Then I found my pillow, satisfactory to me, and every pillow I've used since then, also satisfactory.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to switch back to the calls here because these sound so remarkably like sales pitches. And I know they're not sales pitches, but like the exact stuff you're saying, it sounds exactly like a sales pitch.
If you're going to buy a MyPillow, try to use coupon code FTL. See what happens.
Yeah, it won't work, unfortunately. Well, I say unfortunately. It's not
unfortunate.
Maybe
they never changed it.
I mean, it sounded like a threat. Try to use coupon code.
Once upon a time, there was a deal between MyPillow and Free Talk Live, yep. And I think that was how you got your pillows. And more recently, they were...
I bought them, too.
Okay, well, they were willing to give us some more recently, and that just didn't pan out, and I'm thankful for that because I don't like the MyPillow guy. He doesn't seem to like trans people very much either, but let's keep going to the phones. We do have Creighton on the line from Kentucky. Creighton, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you with us? Yeah, you are, but I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Okay, go ahead, Creighton. You're on Free Talk Live.
There we go.
Yep, what's on your mind tonight?
A couple of thoughts. First, Mark, I'm sorry, Florida is not a southern state.
this is what all the Southerners say, that they try to cut Florida out. But by what do you define Southern?
We're
that Florida doesn't fit?
The majority of the population, or a significant portion of the population, was born north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay, so...
Or,
hold on,
outside of the country.
Let me rebut. Outside of the state, well, they could be born in a southern state.
He said outside the country.
Outside the country. All right. So what I did was, when I talked about it, I accepted the area that was 10 to 20 miles from the coast, and I claimed that the area that was inside the state, and I accepted Orlando and perhaps a few of the professors from the Gainesville. It's probably true in Tallahassee, too.
Okay, it's not a geography lesson, and we don't care. Florida's not the South. Even if you do have some pockets within Florida, you say, look, there's a trailer park.
Florida seceded from the Union. That means it fits the definition of being
from
the South.
Even when I was a kid, and I just went to Disney World once, I was just like, Florida's not the South. It wasn't like a... It's just a feeling.
I accepted Orlando.
Didn't, like, West Virginia secede as well?
West Virginia did not. Virginia did, and Virginia just voted Democrat.
Well, it doesn't matter. Neither one of them are from the South.
Kentucky did not succeed.
That's true.
And Kentucky is the South.
I would agree that Kentucky is the South. I would also call Maryland the South, but many people don't.
Virginia is not the South.
I've always been through Baltimore.
Virginia
is not the South, no. That may be Appalachia.
Ridiculous state.
But they are not the South.
Sorry. Virginia was the capital. Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy.
Virginians
the Confederacy
are very
the
southern.
South.
So what?
Yeah, thank you.
Confederacy has nothing to do with what's southern. That has nothing to do with it. But
all right.
That's not why I called.
So what is on your mind tonight?
What was on my mind is that I've been thinking the past few days, you know, about the difference between what I would like to see in politics of the United States and what I'm actually going to get, practically what I have to accept. And I encountered this diametric opposition on this show a lot. And Mark is my spirit host because he, for me, he represents that practical point of view. But the other day he was talking about, sorry, Mark, you were talking about Florida being the first or second freest state in the union. And I've spent plenty of time in Florida, and I spent no time in New Hampshire. And I can honestly say there is no way Florida could possibly be so free.
Well,
that's right.
The president of the Free State Project, not president, the founder of the Free State Project, works with the Cato Institute.
Where's he from?
Jason Sorens originally?
Yeah.
He has also backpedaled on a lot of his Free State positions, so...
He's the founder of the Free State Project.
Yeah.
He is the one who makes the list. He and another guy.
Yeah.
For the Free
State. He also used to advocate for secession, and now he's like, well, the secession is a little extreme. So,
and
take that with a grain of salt.
He therefore rates, and he rates number New Hampshire number one, Florida number two. And the reason that Florida's so high is the homeowners exemption, the homestead exemption that you get, and this sort of this law that requires a municipality who changes zoning laws that negatively affect your property to pay you. So, you know, this is one of the these are the reasons why Florida tends to be more free for homeowners.
I suspect
than for visitors.
I suspect we don't have a freedom in the 50 states to look at for the last year. Actually, I know we don't.
He gives you his numbers that he comes up with, though. It's not like he just says, this is what I think.
No, but COVID changed a lot, and I suspect that a lot of the education meddling happening in the state of Florida right now is going to knock Florida down a few places. They are seriously inhibiting freedom.
I suspect New Hampshire coming in 22 on the list of freest places during COVID is going to knock it down on the list.
Sure.
So therefore, it's just going to be a couple of number one and number two are going to slide down a little bit, and all the rest are going to be so remarkably much farther.
That it could be number 22. Like, I went to, I think, 19 states in 2020, and New Hampshire was like, wow, it's a whole new world, but not Keene as much as, like, Manchester.
Well, I wouldn't be able to, I didn't go to quite as many states, and I found that they varied widely, but it also had to do with the time frame. Like, you know, the masks came off, and then, boop, put the masks back on, you know, and there was just this whole ebb and flow of restrictions. So I'm presuming that's what you ran into in your travels.
COVID definitely messed things up, and then it made it difficult to figure out exactly where to point the finger and who to blame for it, because we talked about the mask thing like last week when you were on the show with us, and yes, New Hampshire had masks, sort of. Like, some businesses required people to put on masks, but in some cities, they were required to tell people to put on masks.
And in Manchester, I didn't wear one the whole time. I lived there for like a month and a half.
Well, maybe they weren't one of the cities that required, but like Nashua did require, they were the first one to have a mask mandate, and they punished the people, the business owners, if they served customers who weren't wearing masks. Instead of finding the customer who came in without a mask,
like
they
bars
would find,
and smoking.
Yes,
that's so bad.
They would find the actual business owner.
Keene wasn't doing that, were they?
Keene never served any fines.
But
that's because most people were obedient in Keene. And I don't know of any business owner who just outright... Well, actually, there were a few. There was Valais, Lynn, and Phil, rest in peace, who owned the Funky Noodle, who refused to implement a mask mandate. And I never saw anyone wearing a mask there. And that was, of course, here in Keene.
I saw customers, but they weren't forced, so
right.
Who cares?
Well, and I don't think I ever saw an employee wearing a mask there. And if they did, it was of their own volition. So, Creighton, thank you so much for the call. And I certainly agree. I don't see... I mean, some place has to be the second freest place in the United States, right? That's just how rankings work. If you put 50 places in a ranking, one of them is going to be top and one of them is going to be worst. It's like when someone described Donald Trump as being the most pro-LGBT president in American history, I was like, yeah, that statement checks out. I agree with that statement. I got a lot of criticism from people. How can you say, well, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is good on LGBT things. I'm saying he's the least bad. And that's what you have when you have the freedom in the 50 states or these free states ranking. It's not, maybe New Hampshire's the best in regard to freedom, but I don't even think of it that way. I think it's just the least bad. And that's because when you rank 50 things from 1 to 50, one of them, by definition, is going to be first.
The problem I have with the freedom in the 50 states is that it's so American that it doesn't even talk about the rest of the world.
It's so American,
it doesn't even talk about its own territories, right? There's only states. The only place that you as an American could possibly live is in a state.
I personally don't have a problem with things being too American.
Yeah, to me, being critical of freedom in the 50 states as being too focused on the states is a weird criticism. Like there's freedom across the globe or whatever if you want to find that, I'm sure.
I would like to see these lists done by similar people with similar rankings rather than these all across the boards, because there's so many of them. I've read these things. I've sat down and read them, and there's no comparison. Like, they put the United States in at 14th freest, and then sometimes they're down in the 20s. I mean, I've seen them down in the 40s on freedom of speech and whole variety of the different things. You're trying to figure out, well, where's the freest place in the world based on these criteria? Because remember, these criteria are based on the laws that are published, not how well they're enforced. Because in the rest of the world, because that really, really, really matters.
I would certainly agree with that. And you'll find in a lot of places around the world that you can bribe the police and make laws go away. Because that's what a fine basically is. It's legal for a price. And with a lot of these police officers, like, I remember a story of someone who went to Thailand or Taiwan or something, and they got in trouble with the police, but they just slipped them $20, and then they went about their lives. Whereas in the United States, no, if you try that, you're also going to get hit with bribery charges, and it's not going to end well for anyone involved. But we're out of time for tonight. You can join us online in the meantime on our social media server. That's social.freetalklive.com. Again, that's social.freetalklive.com. We hang out there, and you can hang out there with us. Or if you prefer our chat server, you can find that at chat.freetalklive.com. See you tomorrow night. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.